Well, I thank the Lord this morning for the privilege that we have to cast our care on the Lord. The message the Lord put on my heart just dovetails with the Sunday school lesson. So if the Lord changed Justin's Sunday school lesson, I guess it means that we needed what's being brought out. I guess that's one thing. When I'm not in Sunday school, I'm with the young people, I don't know what's being taught. But I also find it interesting sometimes how the Lord, He knows what we need and sometimes He doubles down. So that's what the Lord's doing this morning. Written on the board, the lifter up. And we live in a world, and I'm not going to apologize for any repetition this morning, because I believe the Lord sent it for a reason. I don't know it all. I know I needed it. After the Lord had given me this message, I told Renee, I said, I need some of what the Lord gave me for Sunday. So, we live in a world where so many people, their head is hanging low. I know you probably met people and seen people, and you just look at them and there's just almost a spirit of defeat. You can see the pain in their eyes, you can see the disappointment and the discouragement, and their head is hanging and bowed low because of the burdens of life. And many people have lost their hope. They have resigned themselves to some of the problems that are around them. And not only because of sin, and sin is the greatest thing that will zap people of their hope and cause people to be bowed down. But as children of God, we also face challenges in life. And there are also going to be times in life that the burdens around us can begin, if we're not careful, they can begin to cause our head to droop. And probably all of us have gone through times in life that we have experienced that, but the Lord does not want it to stay that way. If you feel like that your head is bowed down this morning, we heard about coming to the Lord, we're going to end where He started. But it takes an effort on our part. But to recognize that it is a reality in life as well, that salvation does not exempt us from the burdens of life. Salvation does not mean that we're going to have all of the answers. I mentioned in prayer requests, I've got a long list right now of things that I really need some inspiration with and I need some direction in. And the enemy would like to use those things to cause us just to kind of feel discouraged and start to color even other positive things in life. Over in Psalms, in the third Psalm, I'd like to read to us something that's familiar, but yet it's been an encouragement many years. That's why the Lord gave us His Word. But in Psalms chapter 3, this psalm was composed when David was fleeing from Absalom. Now, if you want a cause to have your head hanging low, if you want a cause to be burdened, it would be to have one of your children out to kill you, trying to taking what's yours and taking it from you. So Absalom was trying to take David's kingdom from him to the point that David, right or wrong, David fled for his life and he left Jerusalem. So he was fleeing, his son was against him, his son wanted his crown, and David fled his home with great grief upon his heart. So that's when this psalm was composed in relation to that story. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Do you know right there, the enemy likes sometimes, some people say, this saying is, when it rains, it pours. You know, in life, sometimes it seems like about the time one thing starts kind of going wrong or badly in life, it seems like that things just start dumping on you from all different. It seems like every time you turn around, there's a problem over here, there's a problem on the left, and you think maybe if I back up a little bit and you look behind you, there's a problem there too. That's how David was feeling. It was like he was looking around. It's like they're just increased against me that trouble me. There's trouble. One song says there's trouble on the left. There's trouble on the right. It's like we're just surrounded by difficulty. something to be aware of. The enemy would like to capitalize on those kinds of perspectives, though, as well. Because when there is one problem right here, and there's lots of good, and then there's another problem right here, it's easy to say, there's just trouble all around me. And we're actually talking about this problem and this problem when there's so much good in our life. Kind of like when someone's gotten hurt. Hurt among God's people. The saints, they just didn't do me right. The God's people, they hurt me and they didn't treat me right. It's like, well, who are you talking about? Well, this person. Well, that person is not all the saints. So if you come to the congregation and there's one or two people that maybe did something that wasn't real good, it doesn't mean everybody's against you, but it's easy. The enemy would like to color those perspectives sometimes when you deal with a problem here and a problem there. And those are times it's good for us sometimes to try to, by the help of the Lord, find a place to give thanks. Find a situation and say, you know what, there is not a problem here. Thank God that's going well. Thank the Lord there's someone over here that really does love me. Have you ever had to do that? You just sometimes, if you have a problem with a couple of people, pretty soon it feels like nobody likes you. Well, sometimes you have to stop and say, well, does anybody like me? You might have to think hard, but normally you can find and know that, you know what, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, this person really does love me and really does care. Because see, the enemy, he's trying to rob and steal and change perspectives. So David was feeling pretty cast down. He was looking all around saying, oh, they're just, many are they that rise up against me. But it didn't end there. He said, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. In other words, David, you're in a mess now, and even God can't help. You know, the enemy is doing what he can to try to rob us of our faith in God. When there is trouble, when there are problems, that David was thinking about what others had told him. They were saying, oh, David, you're in a problem and there's no help for you from God. Maybe part of this was David's fault. Has the enemy ever come maybe when something was your fault, maybe you didn't handle something right, and the enemy came in and said, you know what, you caused the problem, there's no help from God because you did it. But you know, that's the enemy. The Lord is in the business of helping people that have made mistakes. The God is in the business of ministering to people that have made their own problems. Say, well, you spilt the milk, you clean it up. No, thank God. There's a God that says, oh, you spilt the milk, let me help you clean it up. So there is help from God. And if you caused it, maybe your family, maybe someone in the congregation, someone you work with is being a difficulty in your life, and it just seems like there's no change. Nothing's going to help. Folks, there is help from God this morning. But David, as you can see, he was feeling pretty overwhelmed. But he went on. And isn't this just like Job's comforters, though, too? He said, many there be that say there's no help from God. That kind of sounds like Job's quote-unquote friends, doesn't it? Job, you are suffering because you have done wrong. I have heard that across the pulpit before too. And I would just say to us this morning, it's not true. That sometimes you do go through difficulties because you did wrong. But sometimes afflictions are for the glory of God. Why is this man afflicted? Who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, no one. The Lord gave this affliction to him for the glory of God. So you see, there are difficulties in life. That doesn't mean you always have to find this is the who to blame for the problem. Sometimes problems are a part of life, and the Lord knows it, and so don't put more on yourself than what you need. If you know you've done something, then bring it to the Lord. Come to Him, as we heard this morning. But Job's friends were also wanting to assess blame. And I find that sometimes we can get into trouble when we start trying to diagnose and assess the reason for everything. Sometimes we just need to do what David did next. He said in verse 3, but thou, O Lord, after all I've heard, after everything I'm seeing around me, David began to change his perspective. He began to get his eyes off of the troubles, and he said, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." Yes, there are problems, but Lord, you're my shield. He said, "You're my glory and the lifter up of mine head." And that's what I like is to just get hold of, that there is, the Lord is the lifter up. There are times in life that we need to be lifted up. There are times that we fall that we need to be lifted up. There are times that our head is bowed low and we need to be lifted up. There are times that we're discouraged and we just need to be inspired and lifted up. So David said, "Oh Lord, with all of the problems and what everybody's saying, it looks like there's no help." He said, "I still know, Lord, that you're a shield to me. I still know that you are my glory. It's not in what I have done. It's not in where I have been. It's not in who I am. But Lord, you are the source of my glory." You know, at times if you begin to feel discouraged, maybe it's because you've been putting too much credence in your own ability. And maybe you need to start recognizing that all glory is truly of the Lord. God has lost none of His glory. So if you're struggling or you're feeling insufficient this morning, maybe the Lord would have us recognize that the glory truly is from God. And He said, "You are the lifter up of my head." It is God that revives the spirit. It's God that will encourage. It's God that will break the power of the enemy. But recognize the enemy, the oppression of the enemy is broken when we get our gaze and our eyes fixed back on the Lord. Because David had been looking around at all these other things. But the power of the enemy was broken when he, in another place, David said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." In other words, if I'm looking around me, it's discouraging. So I need to elevate my vision. Elevate my eyes, and when I get them on the Lord, I'm going to know that's where my hope is. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. David also said in another place, he said, "When my heart is overwhelmed." In other words, when my head is bowed down, when I'm feeling pressed, when my heart is overwhelmed, he said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Do you know there is a rock that's higher than where you are this morning? There is a God that is still being the lifter up. And David began to recognize that. And then in verse 4, when he recognized it, "Lord, I know you're the lifter up of my head." So David said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah." In other words, amen. The Lord heard my prayer. Folks, it's a little bit difficult to pray when you're focused on all the problems around you. It's a little bit difficult to seek God for help when you're thinking there's no help. Nothing's going to change. Been this way for a long time and nothing's going to change. But David used that as a time to remind himself that he is the lifter up of my head. So then he cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard him. You know what a blessing it is to know the Lord will hear us when we pray? But are we praying? Are we bringing these burdens to the Lord when they're there? Or are we just so discouraged, just like nothing's going to change? Or can we have enough faith this morning to say, "Lord, I still believe that you are the lifter up. And so I'm going to come to you and I'm going to cry out to God." And folks, God will hear. He's still hearing this morning. And then there was a result of this. He said, "I laid me down and slept. I awakened for the Lord sustained me." I was able to lay down and go to sleep when there were people that were after me. I was fleeing for my life, but I remembered God, and I prayed, and I was able to just lay down and relax and go to sleep. Isn't that what the Lord wants to do this morning? But where are we going to get that? And I'm going to say, and I'll address in just a little bit, this does not always happen immediately. All right? There are going to be some times in life that you're going to find your head is bowed low. And it's going to take a little bit of time before the Lord comes in and lifts up your head. But if your head is bowed low, it's a good time to pray. I think, and we won't read it, you know how many times in the Scripture it says they bowed and they prayed? And I thought when the Lord began to give me, I thought, yes, yeah, well, when your head's bowed low, you say, well, I'm so discouraged. Like, well, what do? When we pray, we bow our heads, don't we? So if you feel, find your head is bowed low, it's just a good time to start seeking the Lord, because He will come through for you. Might take a little bit of time. He lay down and slept, and then he began to be encouraged. I will not be afraid. Now this sounds like a little different David than it does in verse 1 and 2. He said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Why did he have that? It was a change in perspective. It was not a change in circumstance. All right? The Lord can change circumstances, but folks, that is not what changed David here. What changed David was a change of perspective, of faith, of confidence, because when he got up in the morning, they were still after him. But now he wasn't afraid, and the day before he was trembling, I'm afraid, and people are saying there's no help and all this other stuff. But it was a change in perspective. He said, I'm not going to be afraid now. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. In other words, he was looking in the past. He was remembering all of the times. Oh, remember Goliath? Do you remember the Lord? I didn't go out there in my own strength. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And the Lord gave a great victory. Remember when he went out and David killed his thousands? That was the power of God. And I believe David was remembering back, and he thought, the Lord has done so much. How can I stay with my head hanging low? He said, I'm going to get up now. I've had sleep. Lord, this is your battle. This is your battle. You did it in the past, O Lord. It's yours to save me. And then he concluded this little psalm. He said, salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not going to come by our own ability. It's not we can't heal ourselves. We can't change other people. We can't change circumstances to a large extent in life. But what we can do by the help of the Lord is to recognize where our strength comes from. And the Lord is still a lifter up. Because see, David was in the minority here. He was by himself. But when it said that salvation belongs to the Lord, when something belongs, it denotes ownership. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your salvation, my salvation belongs to the Lord. So if you're discouraged, what are you discouraged with? Others? Sometimes. Circumstances? Sometimes. Myself? Ever been discouraged with yourself? Or am I the only one? Because if you haven't been, you ought to be up here instead of me. But salvation is of the Lord. He owns that. So when we can recognize that God's blessings are upon His people. So when our head is bowed low and we're struggling, let's remember that salvation belongs to the Lord. And keep moving forward. Do you remember when Jesus, we're not going to take the time to read it all, you know the scripture, but when Jesus was being tempted by the devil, and keep in mind that temptation is not without effect. Temptation is something that moves us by definition, right? I've used this example many times. Put a can of beer in front of me. I don't care. It's not a temptation to me. It moves me not at all. I don't care about beer. I have no desire. There's nothing inside of me that, oh, makes me thirsty when I see a beer. But if it does you, that doesn't make you any less spiritual. It just means that's a different nature of temptation. But do you know that everyone is tempted, and Jesus was being tempted? which meant by definition there was something that was drawing on his flesh, and yet he was resisting it. At the end of the temptation, at least the end for a season, have you ever got tired of the devil just badgering you with the same thing over and over? Just recognize that's the devil. He did it with Jesus. You know, it says the devil went away, and we say, oh, thank the Lord, we have victory. The devil went away. Well, just hold on. And I sometimes tell people at the altar, young people, especially that are struggling with things, say, God has victory for you, but don't be discouraged. You've come down to the altar now. You sought the Lord for something. When tomorrow you're tempted by the same thing, but you can find a place of victory. But don't be discouraged when the temptation comes, because the enemy came back. Well, do you remember what it said happened after the enemy left? It said the angels came and they ministered to him. Think, if Jesus needed that, doesn't he know that we need that too? Because why did they need to come minister to him? Probably because he was pretty worn out. And when you get tired, your head starts drooping, doesn't it? Have you ever watched someone in service going to sleep? And when I was a child, the pastor's wife used to sleep in the afternoons, sometimes in the afternoon service. And as children, we would just be watching her because we had the side benches and we'd be watching her. And she was someone that would slump and we'd watch till she about was all the way over. And then she'd jerk up and we'd be watching her that, you know, she was tired. She was weary. And, spiritually, sometimes we get weary. And when we start getting spiritually weary, we start bowing our head as well. And if we're not careful, we'll hit our head too when we get down too low. Do you know that that's the reason the angels came to minister to Jesus? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed more than one time. It says his spirit was in agony. His head was bowed down. He was in agony, and he prayed, and then he went forth, and he was by himself. The disciples were there, but they were sleeping. Have you ever been in a battle, and it kind of felt like, why isn't someone taking my cause? I felt that way before. It's like, if you know, why aren't you standing in my defense? Why aren't you stepping up to the plate? And you feel like, Lord, I'm in this battle by myself. Jesus was there by himself, and the disciples that he really wanted them to be by his side and support him, they were asleep. They had their own things going on. And so then Jesus went further and prayed again and again. And after that, it says the angels came and they ministered to Jesus again. Okay, after temptation they came. When he was in a place of trying, wanting to do God's will, but yet the flesh was recoiling before the cross, we find the angels of God came and they ministered to him. And I just thought, Lord, if you needed that, you are the Son of God. Surely I need that too. And so that's why the Lord sent his Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He came to be a comfort, and he came to be the lifter up of our head when you're tired, when you're weary, when you've been tempted, when you're going through it, when the cross is ahead of you. In the battles of life, the Lord wants to be there to be a lifter up of your head. And so if Jesus needed renewing, I know that we do too. There is a couple scriptures like to Psalms 145:14. David said, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. In other words, the Lord is the upholder, and the Lord, the translation bears out that the Lord is the lifter up. He upholdeth those that fall, and he raises up those that be bowed down. Those that are bowed down under the cares and the duties and the trials of life, God strengthens them so they are not crushed. He's the lifter up. Psalms 146:8 says, the Lord open the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Isn't that wonderful? No, the Lord will raise those that are bowed down this morning. I am so thankful for that. And one of the verses, the last two verses I had written down, the Lord had given me, were brought out in Sunday school, but one part of the story wasn't. You remember when Jesus was out on the water, and he was walking on the water when they were toiling. And when Peter called out and he said, Lord, if it's you, he said, bid me to come. And that's when Jesus said, come. So Peter's walking on the water. That's a wonderful miracle, right? Jesus wasn't the only one that walked on water. But when Peter got his eyes on the waves around him, what happened? Started to sink. You been there? It's like, Lord, I've been trying to follow you, and I'm trying to do your will, and I felt like that you were in this, but I'm sinking, Lord. And it's easy to start blaming God. It really is. It's easy to start saying, Lord, you told me to come. I'm here because of you, Lord. And I'm struggling. But the scripture says, and remember why he was beginning to sink is because he was looking at the waves around him. But Peter cried out. And you know what the scripture says? That Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and he lifted him up. He stretched out his hand and caught him. He was not going to let him sink. Jesus was the lifter up. If you're sinking because of the waves around you, and maybe it seems like some of it, God told you to do what you're doing, and it seems like it just caused a problem because now you're sinking. It's God's will as well, right where you're at in the middle of the waves, if you'll call on him to stretch out his hand and lift you up. I distinctly remember probably 22 years ago, beside my bed in Shawnee, in the parsonage, seeking the Lord, and I felt like I was sinking. I felt just like Peter, Lord, I'm sinking. And I remember still today so distinctly that morning in prayer that I just felt like the Lord just stretched out his hand and he lifted me up. You know, I value those times. I value that, and that gives me courage this morning for today or in the future when my head starts getting bowed down to know that there is a lifter up. And that's what Jesus came to do. So in closing, there's two other verses. One says, be still and what? And know that I am God. If your head is bowed down and it seems like the Lord's not coming through for you, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Be still. Know that He's God. Know that He's listening. Know that He recognizes what you're going through. And in His time, He will lift you up. But He will not cause you to sink. He will not cause you to drown. He will not cause you to bear more, to cause you to go through more than what you're able to bear. So although it may feel like that you can't take anymore, I've been those places too. It's like, Lord, I can't take anything else. I'm about to break. And the Lord turned down the thermostat, or there are other times He just gave me more grace when I thought this is about it. And then the Lord gave more grace. The Lord has not forsaken His people. And so I would like to close where we started in Sunday school this morning. Jesus said, come unto me. That's where the answer is, folks. It's in Christ. But my husband or my wife, they're not filling this place, this need that I have. Your husband or wife can't fill every need that you have. Children, your parents can't fill every need that you have. We're there to support one another. But Jesus is the ultimate answer. And He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And when you're heavy laden, what's the condition? Aren't you bowed down? When you weighted down, Jesus said, hey, if you're bowed down this morning, He said, come to me and I will give you rest. Or with you'll give me a little liberty this morning, I will lift you up. I'll ease that burden and I'll encourage and inspire and minister. So I believe the Lord sent us two lessons today. Lesson and a message. The Lord's calling us to come And he's reminding us that he is the lifter up. So let's let our faith be inspired this morning. And this week, when your head is bowed down, let's cry out to the Lord and know that he will lift us up.